Hello, beautiful people. You are now listening to season 3 of the Platinum Rule podcast. Our priority is to give our listeners the most recent information about current events, public policy, activism, and much, much more. It feels so good to be back. Thank you to those who stayed in the loop and caught up on season 2. And to all of our new listeners, welcome. We're here to make you feel good and make sure you're a part of the conversations without actually having to physically be here. We're with you in spirit. Amari, you ready to kick off season 3?
Born ready. Hello, everyone. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we are thrilled to be back for season 3. Season 2 was so rewarding, and I cannot wait to make this podcast bigger and better for all of you. Just want to say, please don't be shy and feel free to share this podcast with your grandparents, your friends, coworkers, anyone and everyone.
So I don't know about you, but I'm feeling refreshed going into this season. Things are opening back up. I see people reuniting with their family. CDC just declared last week that it's safe for vaccinated people to travel. Obviously, we still have some time to go, but I can't help but think of where I'm trying to head when we wrap this thing up.
We got the passports ready. It's time.
We are ready. So friends, let's chat. This is a segment where we call on friends at random and give them a chance to put their voice on the mic. We want to hear what your guys' plans are, what you guys are thinking at the moment. How are you feeling? So we're obviously running back our crowd favorite. Here's phone a friend.
You are now fully vaccinated, yes?
Yes, I love it.
So what are your plans in the coming year? What are you wanting to do?
My plans, my first thing comes to mind, I want to go to Tahoe. Mm-hmm. I want a friend group to Tahoe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to more games. So I can go to the A's game tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah. Next one, the Kings game is coming up.
Yes.
Yeah, going to the Kings game. I don't feel bad about going to bars anymore. Like, I don't have that, like...
anxiety.
In back of my mind.
You were high-key with the hand sanitizer.
Oh, yeah, you saw that.
You're part of my pod, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah, okay,
you're part
of
my COVID pod.
I was very nervous. Like, the next day, I was like, okay, I'm good.
Absolutely.
But now, just like, okay, fully vaccinated. Don't have that behind.
Yeah,
like,
go
back
off.
Of my mind. Being paranoid.
Amen. So...
okay.
Once you get your 2 inoculations, what do you plan on doing?
Well, once I'm vaccinated, I would really like to go back to Arizona and visit my friends.
Yes.
And then, for sure, I'm going to Las Vegas in June for 24 hours, and then flying straight to Cabo San Lucas for 6 nights. Staying in a villa there with a bunch of friends who will also be vaccinated. And I've seen predictions that we'll be at herd immunity by June, so pretty excited that Cabo might be like actually
insane.
Super popping. Yeah.
Are you vaccinated?
Yes.
You are? How long ago did you get your vaccine?
I just got my second one yesterday.
No way. How are you feeling?
Dead, but hopeful.
Okay, well, you're in, I guess, the kind of right mindset. Where's the first place you're going to go post-pandemic?
The gym.
Okay, somewhere, what about anywhere that you actually have to fly?
Oh, I'm doing Portland in a couple weeks.
Okay, well, honestly, proud of you for saying the gym. That's not where my head was at, but bonus question here. When in your eyes is the pandemic over?
When we're at like a 80 to 90% vaccinated state throughout the states.
Are you vaccinated?
Yes.
How long have you been vaccinated?
I got vaccinated, my second dose, in about like 2 weeks on Thursday.
What you rep, Pfizer or Moderna?
I'm Pfizer.
My next question, where's the first place you're going post-pandemic?
Post-pandemic, maybe like Mexico or Florida.
Okay, you're not scared to go to Florida?
Oh, post-pandemic though, you said, so we're all good.
When in your eyes is pandemic over?
When the CDC says.
Our friends never disappoint. Be ready when we call you for a future episode. Now that we're all caught up with some friends, Amari, can you catch us up on some major headlines that might be filling the TLs this coming week?
Yes, I sure can. But do you want to give everyone a little COVID update?
Gavin Newsom announced that everyone over the age of 50 can receive the vaccine on April 1st, and all individuals 16 and older will be able to get the vaccine on April 15th. That's how many days away? 9 days away from when this episode airs. This is super exciting news because that means every one of you guys is eligible.
Yes, we are pumped. Let's get it moving. If you guys are feeling any hesitancy about getting the vaccine, it's totally understandable. But as with the whole pandemic, it's one of those moments, very, very critical moments, to think about your community and think about people older than you and the people who are on the front lines that are going to have to take care of you if you get sick by not taking the vaccine. So yeah, take that with you on your journey.
Question.
You have a question for me?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you feel about people that have had COVID that think that, you know, they have the antibodies? Should they still get vaccinated?
Yeah, for sure. I'm not a medical professional, but I'm going to assume that it's going to be like every 6 months to once a year, kind of like the flu. What I think is going on with the COVID vaccines is that it's not going to be one and done, especially since there's so many mutations that are out now. I don't see getting the COVID vaccine not being a part of our modern medical
process and routine.
Yeah.
As someone that works at these vaccination centers, obviously whatever I find out, I'll let you guys know ASAP. So anyways, moving on to the rest of the headliners.
Here we go. So we have mentioned this before in our Statehood and Gerrymandering 101 episode. So make sure you guys go back to season 2 and listen to that one if you haven't yet. But Muriel Bowser, who's the mayor of D.C., testified on the House floor for D.C. statehood. This is a huge step because she's the city's highest government official and will be the one to spearhead this entire legislation through. So to know that in 2021, it's on Congress's desk is a big, big deal. Next thing on the agenda that we wanted to share was the status of the Violence Against Women Act. It has officially passed in the House, round of applause, and although there was some support by Republicans, a majority of the Republicans voted against it. A lot of people have been wondering why anyone in their right mind would vote against a Violence Against Women Act, but experts are claiming that the main reason why the right was against the bill was because it would close a very specific loophole. The loophole would stop reported abusive partners like ex-boyfriends/girlfriends or partners/stalkers from buying guns. And because the GOP and the NRA are besties, any gun control stops them from seeing the bigger picture of this legislation.
Makes sense. Gotcha.
Right, it's like violence against women, not wanting to prevent violence against women. What's not adding up here? But as you guys know, there's always a loophole.
Oh man, just like any other piece of legislation.
And actually, the most current update, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, appointed by the Biden administration, made the case yesterday, for a global minimum tax, kicking off the Biden administration's effort to help raise revenue in the U.S. This will partially prevent companies from shifting profits overseas to evade taxes. She gave the speech to the Chicago Council on Global Affairs and called for global arrangements on an international tax rate. This would apply to multinational corporations, regardless of where they locate their headquarters. We'll dive deeper into this in just a second, but this is huge when we're talking about corporate taxes and what it was founded on. Senator Ron Wyden, an Oregon Democrat, is in charge of writing this tax legislation, which will be released next Monday to overhaul the systems currently happening in the U.S. with taxes and multinational corporations.
And as always, I feel caught up. We've got a contentious topic this week that was sort of a trigger to a lot of you that follow us on Instagram and saw our stories. If you're not following us, here's my plug to follow us on Instagram at the Platinum Rule Podcast.
To give you guys a little bit more context and information, if you do not follow us on Instagram, there was an article by the New York Times that came out a few days ago that discussed the amount of companies that did not pay taxes in the last year. 26 companies, including Nike, FedEx, Dish Network, and Salesforce, paid no federal income taxes the past 3 years. Their combined income was over $77 billion at that time. And I mentioned in a previous episode that in 2017, the Trump administration gave massive tax cuts to large corporations, and this is the reality that we're seeing of that decision. Not only does the right condone this, but so does the left. And the article that I pulled this from will be linked in the description of this episode if you guys want to read it for yourselves. In it, the author broke down the list of corporations that have benefited from these cuts and how much they earned in the meantime. I think that it's time for us to all focus on how to stop blaming the poor for economic deficits and start realizing that it's the rich helping the rich that it's creating this disparity.
First things first, let's understand how we've arrived to this place of corporations met with taxation. Corporate taxation was founded on the idea of in-country making and selling. Industry and product pipelines were nowhere near the complexity that makes these functioning beasts today. Speaking in more modern times, we have to touch on the TCJA, aka Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, passed in December 2017. This brought overhauling changes to the tax code. How people felt about it at the time depended on many factors. Things like income level, filing status, and deductions. Wealthier groups, banks, and other corporations celebrated this huge victory in the tax reform front. This was a gift of significant and permanent tax cuts to corporate profits, investment incomes, estate tax, and much more. This Tax Cut and Jobs Act slashed the corporate rate from 35% down to 21%. No House Democrats supported the bill, and 12 Republicans voted no, most of them representing California, New York, and New Jersey. The law cut corporate tax rates permanently. The highest earners, they were expected to benefit most from the law, while the lowest earners were believed to pay more in taxes once most individual tax provisions expire after 2025.
Now, a lot of people feel discouraged when we talk about taxes, especially corporate taxes, but there are a lot of things that we can do right now. The first thing is talk about it. I'm sure as of a few days ago, I had no idea. And now everyone listening, you guys know too. We need to get everyone on the radar. And the more that we discuss what's going on, the faster that we can band together and act upon it. We can also help legislation like the For the People Act to pass, and also contact our legislators and let them know that we don't condone this. And if they do, they will be voted out. And that may sound futile, but grassroots movements really do work, you guys. A really good friend of mine saw the Instagram story post and responded to give me a little bit of insight. He said while working for one of these companies, everyone got a $1 per hour raise. And in hindsight, that's amazing. Like, who doesn't like more money? But all of those employees still got federally taxed. Companies create this illusion that giving more money to the employees is the right thing to do when you get a tax cut. But what a lot of people fail to realize is that they're using the employees as scapegoats, keeping $5 billion of revenue internally just for the employees to get that same revenue taxed does not benefit the economy the same way that $5 billion in straight federal taxes would be just from a singular company. So just keep that in mind.
In fact, the federal government collected about $230 billion in corporate taxes in 2019. Sounds like a lot of money, but actually only comes out to about 6.5% of all federal revenues for the year. That's a pretty small piece of the pie.
Absolutely pathetic.
Yeah. Kind of a hard pill to swallow as a taxpayer, one, and two, as an employee of these corporations that are getting such huge tax cuts. Get worked up, but stay tuned. Corporate taxation might see some change in the coming years. Remember the address to the Chicago Council we talked about in our headliner segment just earlier this episode? Let's dive back into that.
To kind of give you guys a little bit of hope, Biden announced a new federal tax plan under the guises of building nationwide infrastructure. The plan includes raising corporate taxes from its now 21% to 28%, so approximately 7% more than it is now. It would also raise estate taxes, which would affect those who make over $11 million. It would also tax those who make over $1 million in the stock market. Now, here's the catch. Isn't there always a catch when it comes to politics? This plan could possibly replace Trump's tax plan and affect those who make under $100,000, and then the next bracket, those who make under $50,000. How, you may ask? Basically, those who qualified for those certain deductions under the Trump's tax plan will no longer get those returns. And side note, those were gonna end in 2025, so it's not like it would be there for much longer. Is that unfortunate? Absolutely. But is it desperately necessary? Possibly. We are about 10 to 15 years behind in infrastructure, so it's time. But this legislation isn't a sure thing, and we can make a whole episode about this subject and go more into individual taxes, but we don't want to give you guys sensory overload, so we'll just make sure to give you guys more information incrementally on the subject very soon.
So, going on the basis of why we started this podcast, besides starting a conversation, not treating others how we want to be treated, but listening in and asking how others want to be treated. It's to activate asking questions. Let's critically think here. When thinking about corporate taxation versus the working class, we know how corporations would like to be taxed. They're living in that reality right now. Let's visit the questions we should be asking. What's the rate corporations should be taxed? Should there be a minimum for this rate? What does higher taxation for corporations mean for the rest of us? What were the missed loopholes in the Tax Cut and Jobs Act in 2017 that got us to this place? And then, not to mention, how do we enforce the new taxation rates proposed by President Biden's administration that they actually get utilized for this innovation plan they're proposing? All things to consider.
And those are the questions to ask, because Soph said so. And with that, we just wanted to say thank you guys for returning and tuning in.
As we'd like to emphasize, we're just here to spark something for everyday people who do everyday things that have the magic to make differences everywhere.
With that being said, if you're feeling in the mood, leave us a review and follow us on Instagram if you don't already, at Platinum Rule Podcast.
Bye.